Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. I am back with another Big Idea of the Week episode. Big Idea of the Week episodes, if you aren't familiar, are where I present a thought, a distinction, a combination of ideas that have radically transformed my life for the better. Today, we're talking about how to avoid being mentally lazy and demonizing the other, the quote-unquote other. What the hell does this all mean? Well, we're talking about radical understanding. In this world that we live in today, where ideas are complex, they have layers, there's nuances. When it comes to intelligent solutions, when it comes to health and wellness, things are not black and white, they're nuanced. That's why we talk so much about personalization on this podcast. It's doing what's right for you. Aren't prescription drugs bad? No, they're not bad. Have you ever had a family member with severe depression and maybe momentarily for a period of time they needed to have certain prescription drugs to stabilize them while you work on their lifestyle and support them with their mental outlook and get them therapy and access to everything else? Are prescription drugs bad or good? Of course, we don't want to rely on them, but we don't want to demonize anything. We don't want to demonize any one person or group, generally speaking, as a whole. There are bad and violent people in the world and that exist, but for the most part, most people are good people, even if they have different beliefs than we do. Most organizations are good organizations. They want the best, even if we disagree with how they are getting there. Yes, there is corruption. Yes, there is backroom deals. Yes, there are conspiracies that turned out to be true. We know that. All you have to do is study history. But I'm talking about most situations. Most people are good people, which is why we need to step into a place where we avoid being mentally lazy and we jump to demonizing the other. So that's what we're talking about on today's podcast. We have three big ideas on how to step into radical understanding, which is the same thing as getting mentally fit. I want to be mentally fit because anytime I'm open to new ideas and one of those ideas ends up serving me, or even if I have a belief that's different than somebody else and I feel strongly about that belief, like I believe that getting our medical system to start looking at lifestyle medicine and functional medicine is very important if we're going to get to the chronic disease epidemic that's here in America. I feel very strongly in that. So if I feel strongly in that and I'm willing to put myself out there to move it forward in any small way I can, it would be good for me to understand where the other side is coming from. It would be good for me to understand why people maybe don't think highly of functional medicine. It would be good for me to understand why people don't want to spend time on nutrition or are calling things bogus if they are, or saying that diet is overrated, or saying that exercise is overrated. Whenever you feel strongly about something, if someone feels the opposite, you want to understand where they're coming from so that you can better your quote-unquote argument or your approach. So this is all about being mentally fit, and it's about stepping into the world where we are not outraged. We're not outraged by much, if anything. We understand where people are coming from, but just remember this, understanding and agreeing are two different things. I'll share an example. Every day on the news, I don't watch the news, but every day on the news, I know enough to know that the news, which Reverend Michael Beckwith calls the lowest common denominator of the human experience, every day you read about a violent crime. If it bleeds, it leads. And you don't hear a lot about corporate corruption, especially on the local news level, because the local news production managers know that sometimes it's a little hard for people to wrap their head around. It's easier to talk about the shooting that happened in your neighborhood at your local grocery store, which both of those things are bad, of course. So let's say if you turned on the news and you saw a shooting and you saw this unfortunate situation where, you know, let's say an underprivileged person robbed a grocery store. Now, if you were able to look into the lives of these individuals, and we actually know and we have a lot of data, you might find that this person who committed this heinous act and shot somebody up and robbed a store, which is not okay at all whatsoever, if you dug a little deeper not in every case, but often in many cases, again, we actually have the data, you will find this person, people who grow up in violent situations, people grow up in terrible situations where from a young age, they are, let's say if they had a single mother that was primarily raising them, let's say they ended up in the foster care system, for example. We know that people or if their parents had some sort of addiction, alcohol addiction, if their family member was using drugs, there is something called the ACEs score, which comes from the ACEs study. So the ACEs is the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. And one of these studies, and there's this questionnaire actually where you could take this questionnaire online, you could just Google it, ACEs, and people take this questionnaire and they find out what is their score. I forget what the number is on a scale of, you know, 1 to 50 or whatever. I'll have to fact check that. You could take this question and you can answer a bunch of things and see how much adverse childhood experiences did you have. And one of the things we know is that if your parent was an alcoholic, if you grew up in extreme poverty, if you only had a single parent who was abusive towards you verbally, or both parents were abusive to you verbally at a young age, that is more likely going to have you go through traumatic events. Those traumatic events are more likely to end up having you commit violent crime, are more likely going to have you end up in a place of poverty yourself, more likely going to lead to drug addiction. So we know this, and obviously it's common sense. We can know if you grow up in a bad situation, life circumstances and events, why, knock on wood, thankful for all the amazing parents that are out there that are trying to create a beautiful place in this world for their kids. We know if you go through those experiences, you are more likely to end up affected by those experiences on the back end of things. That's the ACEs study. So you may read about this person who committed this violent act or crime that's out there on the news, and if you dig in a little bit deeper, you might find this person has gone through very challenging experiences. And that you realize that the circumstances of just the way that they were entirely raised, where, yes, people have personal responsibility, but they didn't even have somewhat of a fighting chance because they were already brought into a system where they couldn't even get a leg up. Now, you can understand that. You can understand how those situations lead to a person committing more violent acts or becoming addicted to drugs and then ending up in the criminal system. That doesn't mean that you agree with their decisions. It doesn't mean that you agree with them robbing the store. It means that you have understanding. And what does understanding give you? That means if you really, really care about making a difference, and let's say you want to do criminal justice reform or get to the root of it, you might start to look at things that affect that root system. For example, in his last book, Food Fix, Dr. Mark Hyman, my business partner and dear friend, he wrote about many studies that show that if people are eating nutritionally devoid diets, they actually did these studies in jail. They did these studies in jail with inmates, and they gave a group of inmates a multivitamin and access to a little bit better food. And then they had a control group in jail. And in jail, it's obviously a lot easier in prison to control what people are eating. And they found that, I don't have the exact statistic, but we'll link to it in the show notes, they found that the incidences of violent crime and offenses for the people that just simply had access to better nutrition went down. So zooming out, when you really start to understand what are the things that create the person that they create, you start to ask different questions. So instead of why is this person committing this act of crime and how do we punish people harder so that we stop having crime? Not saying that there's not a role for consequences that are out there. You might start to say, how the hell do we get to the root of this system? And that comes from understanding. Understanding leads to better questions. So when we step into understanding, we can now look at things in a completely different perspective. Have you ever said to yourself about another group of people or about a person, this could even be a family, or it could be somebody, a friend of yours. Have you ever said, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why they do what they do. I just don't understand why they believe what they believe. If you've ever said this, and by the way, I've said this in the past as well, I really fight hard now not to allow myself to say it. Or if I say it, I catch myself saying it. If you've ever said this before, this is an opportunity to step into our first big idea, which is jumping to understanding. Jumping to understanding. it's natural that as human beings, whenever we find somebody that's different than us, because as we grew up on the plains of Africa and eventually migrated up into Europe and Asia, when we came across a group that was different than us, looked different than us, thought different than us, ate different than us, we were skeptical. That skepticism was a way of protection. Now in this world, I'm not saying there's not a place for skepticism in certain situations, but we largely are in a place of peace on this world. The world is more peaceful than ever in human history. And this old wiring of the brain isn't needed to the same extent. It doesn't mean that we can't be skeptical. It just means this initial reaction when you meet somebody else and your brain goes into the negativity bias is old programming. It's not programming that we decided for today. So our natural reaction is to jump to conclusions. We're going to jump to conclusions that this other group that we encounter, this other person that thinks differently than us, this other person that looks differently than us, this other person that has different opinions than us, that our brain tends to, when left to its own devices and we don't question it, it jumps to conclusions. It jumps to conclusions about them and it automatically assumes the worst. We have so many studies on implicit and explicit bias that show this and unconscious bias that show that when somebody even just looks more like us, we're more open and receptive to them. And by the way, scammers know this, right? AARP has this great podcast that they do. It's actually the guy that was behind Catch Me If You Can, the movie that Leonardo DiCaprio was in, the real life story of the guy that's behind that, this big time scammer. He started a podcast with AARP. And I only listened to one episode back in the day, but I've seen his work and he talks often about how if you can appear to be similar to another group of people, they're more likely to believe you. That's one way of scamming them because the mind immediately says, well, they look like me and they talk like me and they act like me. So I'm automatically going to trust them. So what I'm sharing is that we know that unconscious bias is, there's so much research and data on that, that we are more likely to believe people who look like us and question people who don't look like us. So we jump to conclusions positively when people look like us or think like us or talk like us or wear the same shirt of the same political candidate. And when they don't, we jump to conclusions on the other side. There's actually New York Times had a great article about assumptions about political parties, and Democrats had these crazy assumptions about Republicans, and Republicans had these crazy assumptions about Democrats, and you can see how people create these whole stories in their heads. So what is the antidote to this? Well, one antidote to this is jumping to understanding. This is a process and a way of training your brain to be open and not jump to an immediate conclusion, especially when it comes to an area that maybe you don't have as much input or information about the quote unquote other side. So what does that look like? So what that looks like is anytime I come up against an idea that might be a new idea that doesn't immediately fit into my framework or the way that I think about things, I first pause and I'll say, let me just hold off jumping to a conclusion. Mentally, I'll even think this. I'll just say, let's pause. Let's pause and be open before I decide. Especially, I love this when somebody tells me, there's a really great thought leader who writes books, but it's very controversial. I'm not going to name the names of this individual, but everybody in my network of individuals who tend to lean liberal, and all my life, I'm very liberal, and even still today, I'm socially extremely liberal, but I have nuanced opinions when it comes to a lot of other things. I'm fiscally a little bit more conservative. I can see both sides on a lot of stuff. I don't want to put myself in one camp or another, but let's say my friends that identify primarily in the liberal woke crowd were telling me, do not listen to this guy. Don't read his stuff. Don't read his books. Don't pay attention to what he has to say. It's dangerous, and he's a misogynist, and he is a this and a that. And I thought, you know what? Let me be open. Let me not jump to conclusions just because this person might, at this point, I hadn't even had any time to be able to listen to any of his content. Let me actually hear what he has to say. This happens in health a lot too. I get presented with individuals who have completely different viewpoints on health. And I said, let me be open. If my goal is to provide the best content and information to this community, I have to be open to even people who have a radically different idea about how to approach health, because if they have something interesting to say, maybe If I'm open, I can hear it. If I'm closed-minded, I shut it down before I end up even being able to explore it. So going back to this gentleman who everybody was telling me, you know, don't listen to him and this and that and other stuff. When I actually sat down and heard his viewpoints and ideas, I didn't agree with everything, but I really saw a whole group of social ideas and viewpoints on politics and viewpoints on just how to think about stuff that I hadn't considered before. And his arguments made me a better person because I listened to them, I thought for myself, and I saw, wow, how does this fit into my framework? And I actually got a different understanding than I had before, and it made me think a lot more nuanced when it came to an area of my life that I previously would maybe just jump to a conclusion on and say I already had the subject figured out. I had a mentor, and this mentor, his name was Gurudev Chitrubanuji. He was the first Jain monk to really leave India. Jainism is a background from India. It's a philosophy and a religion and a way of life. It's where my mom's side of the family grew up in. And I didn't know much about the culture and the philosophy growing up, but they're known primarily for being very staunch vegetarians, and they're known for their embracement of ahimsa, which is all about nonviolence. You probably heard Gandhi quotes from Gandhi talking about ahimsa, which is all about nonviolence. And Gandhi was a big influence on Martin Luther King. Well, the person that influenced Gandhi was a Jain monk, not this mentor of mine, but another gentleman named Srimad Radchandra. Anyways, I digress. In the Jain culture, they're all about ahimsa, and they're all about trying to understand the other side, the other perspective. In one of his lectures, the Gurudev Chitrubanuji, who passed away a few years ago at the ripe old age of 90 plus, in one of his lectures I remember back in the day, he said, you know, you may come across people who you don't understand, but I'm going to give you an exercise, a thought exercise that will help you step into understanding when you meet anyone. It's not going to make you agree with them, nor should the goal be to agree with them, but this exercise is going to help you step into radical understanding. He said, if you close your eyes and you imagine their life, and imagine you could watch their entire life like a movie. And it's funny because I've actually had two mentors say almost exactly the same exercise in a different way. And I've kind of combined them together a little bit. But another gentleman named Serrano Kelly, who was a mentor of mine, he wrote a book called The Game, not to be confused with the pickup artist book and the dating book, The Game, by Neil Strauss. It's a totally different book called The Game, Win Your Life in 90 Days. But they both had a similar analogy. They said, close your eyes and imagine, take this person who you don't understand and imagine that in their entire life, let's say they're 40 years old or 50 years old or 60 years old, imagine you can watch everything they went through in their entire life as a movie, but you could watch it in 90 minutes. From the time that they were born and what their parents were like, how their parents talked to them, what food they made them, the environment they grew up in, how lonely they felt, the questions they had as a young kid, the abuse that they went through, the influence, both good and bad, they went through, all the way up to their teenage years, the early books that shaped their life, the groups, the polarizing groups they came across, how they got radicalized or how they became more loving, whatever it is. Imagine you can see every situation event that they went through their entire life, and you could watch it like a movie and you close their eyes. At the end of their life, let's say if they're somebody who's dead, or let's say if they're somebody who's living, you saw right up until this moment, you may not agree with them. In fact, after seeing their life, you might more vehemently disagree with their views or their opinions. But the one thing you could not say is you didn't understand them. When you see somebody's entire life as a movie and you see everything that they went through and you get that perspective, you now have stepped into understanding. So the thing is, if we know that we are going to have that for pretty much every single human being on earth, again, this isn't agreeing with people. There are some violent, corrupt, you know, broken individuals that are out there, and maybe their brain is actually broken and they've suffered through so much trauma and they've had situations and abuse that have made them this way. We know individuals who have been, you know, sexually abused, especially young men sexually abused, are more likely to do that to people as they get older, right? And the cycle continues. Doesn't mean that we agree with their behavior. In fact, we could vehemently disagree, but we can understand where they come from. And why is understanding important? Understanding is important because it allows us to get to the root issue, or at least talk about the root issue and have nuanced thoughts and deeper thoughts about a subject, which means we're avoiding being mentally lazy, and we're avoiding the lazy argument of just demonizing the other. That's why anytime I come across anybody in politics, in health, you know, in health, I was vegan for a long time, and I'd meet people who would say all meat eaters are bad, or meat eating is bad, or this thing or that thing. And just, I'm sure at a point in time, I even believed, you know, just these very black and white ideas. And it's natural for you, especially young people who get into any subject, whatever it might be, to immediately go towards radical, because they feel like, why is the world, this makes so much sense. Why isn't the world just easy? Why doesn't everybody see everything that we see? And why don't we just stop all carbon emissions today, and the world just needs to go towards green energy? Well, it sounds like a great idea, and I'm the biggest advocate of green energy that's out there, but we know that we can't do it in a day. We know we can't do it in a year. It takes time, especially if we don't want to crash the economy, the global economy, and especially if we want to do it the right way and actually train people for all these green jobs that are out there. So when you're younger, you tend to jump to black and white thinking because you don't understand why these things don't make sense to other people. As you get older, you see when you manage things, you run a nonprofit, you volunteer your church and your leader. As you get older and you step into leadership position, you see that it's actually a little bit more difficult. You can have opinions and ideas on how things go, but when you're actually in it, it's tough. It's tough to actually make change. That doesn't mean that you don't fight like hell for it. It's just not as clear and black and white as it seems when we're younger. So what I was saying with this is that whether it was when I was vegan or vegetarian, and I would heard people say that this other side is all terrible, this other side is all evil. People who eat meat are heartless, you know, which I would hear a lot of, and they don't care about anybody. How could you say you care about your kids and you are eating meat, for example? That was an argument that I would often hear in the world of veganism. And then let's say in politics, you know, people say the other side is all this. Democrats are all this. Independents are all this. Republicans are all this. And I'm talking about politics only simply because we just went through election and pretty much everybody's thinking about politics in one way or another, especially after the last year, the last few months. Or let's approach it with the lockdown and vaccines. And when it comes to, you know, masks and the other party, you know, there's people that I vehemently disagree with in terms of the approach. But the one thing is this: I want to avoid anybody that is trying to radicalize me into demonizing an entire other side, because I know it's just not that way. It's just not that way. You can't radicalize and throw off a whole group of people that think differently than you. That's lazy. What is not as lazy is understanding how they arrived to that decision, how they arrived to that conclusion, and how that maybe still be wrong, maybe still is wrong in your viewpoint, but you are addressing the exact specific sort of reasons that they got there. It's kind of like when you're a kid and people tell you to show your homework. Look, you gave me the answer, and your answer may be right, but the teacher wants to see you show the work. Show me how you got to this answer, because I want to make sure, sometimes we can guess and we can get right on the answer, but I want to see how you got there. So I'm interested in people who show me the work of how they got to there, not just the answer itself, because that helps me understand that they get the other side of things. Okay? So jumping to understanding instead of jumping to conclusion. And we can think of this thought exercise when we close our eyes and imagine somebody's life in a movie, and all the way up, and we see how they got to where they are. Doesn't mean that we agree with them, but at least we'd understand them. Let's jump into big idea two: question before adoption. This is another thing that will help us with understanding and avoiding mental laziness and demonizing the other, which we don't want to do, which is question before adoption. There are people that you look up to. They're your favorite authors. They're your favorite thought leaders, your favorite thinkers, maybe your favorite people to follow on Instagram. When somebody's our favorite, we tend to make their beliefs our own automatically, because we look up to them and we believe in these other areas. Let's say if I look up to a doctor who's very popular on Instagram, who has very strong viewpoints on health, and maybe even their book and their writing and their work has made a difference in our life. Now this person starts talking about a different subject. Let's say they say the entire thing that's going on with coronavirus is a big conspiracy, which I personally don't believe, but I know some people out there that believe this. So it's in our nature that we already trust somebody that we are naturally going to adopt their other beliefs on a subject too. And I just want to put out there, and I want to throw out there to you, that there are so many smart people that I look up to in one area, that they're experts in this one area. They're brilliant. And when it comes to another area, I think that they are, I'm not going to say batshit crazy. I'm doing it as a joke because I don't actually believe that. But another viewpoint or area, their arguments are, let's call them, not very sophisticated. They're focused on demonizing the other, and I would deem them, their arguments, to be intellectually lazy. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying that if you feel, or if you're questioning their viewpoints in another area, or just questioning their viewpoints as a whole, it's okay to look up to somebody in one area and then feel in another area that they're either wrong, if that's how you feel. I'm not telling you they're wrong. If you feel they're wrong, it's okay to feel like, you know what, I really look up to this person here, but in this other area, their thinking is a little bit more limited and I don't feel like they see the whole perspective or subject. That's okay. That means that you're questioning before adopting. You are questioning before you automatically assume that their viewpoint on the world is right. This takes awareness. This takes awareness to say, wow, this person has made a tremendous and a profound difference in my life in one area. And I'm going to question their thinking in this other area because it doesn't seem like the right approach for me personally. This is another big idea and a way to help us avoid being mentally lazy and avoid demonizing the other is don't automatically assume the ideas and thoughts of people that you look up to, especially if you feel that you're having a hint that you have a different perspective on things. It's okay to question and form a different opinion. That is just you exercising your own individuality and looking at the world in a different way. Big idea number three, and this is probably the most important one that's out there, which is check your own bias. We all have our own story. Just like I said, think about the 90-minute movie for somebody else. Think about the 90-minute movie for yourself. If you saw your entire life from the time that you were born as a third party, let's say you were watching the movie of you, you saw your entire life as you were born, and you saw the influences, the things that made you who you are, the traumatic experiences, the good experiences, the beautiful experiences, the ups, the downs, you start to see how you've been biased. We all have bias. We all have bias. And it's okay to have a bias. And the most powerful tool that you have is to know your biases. To know that, for example, I am biased towards medical interventions that are surgical and prescription based, especially when people have not done anything for, let's say, what I would see as nutrition, lifestyle, or functional medicine. That doesn't mean I'm against medicines. It doesn't mean that I'm against surgery. It just means when that's the only option, I know that I have a bias. Now, let's say in the future, somebody came out with some idea, which was some nanotechnology that went and allowed you to eat whatever the hell you wanted to eat. And then you took a pill and those little nanobots, I'm just making this up, right? Just talking out of my ass for a second. Stay along with me so I don't lose you. Let's say you took this pill and it went into your body and it took out all the inflammatory cytokines and it took out all the harmful foods. So you got the taste of it, but immediately it removed all the negative things and only left the positive things. I know my immediate bias is going to be like, I don't trust that. And let's say it was completely safe and it worked and there was no side effects. I'm just making this up, but that's a clear example of where I know that I would walk into a conversation immediately biased against something because I just don't think that the human body works this way. But because I know that bias, I can check and own that bias. I can know that I have a bias because I understand what stories have shaped my thinking in life. When you own, acknowledge, and call out your bias, especially when you're talking to somebody who disagrees with you, then You can say, like, this is how I strongly feel about a subject. And I know that I've had influences in my life that have shaped that. But I'm also open enough because I know I have biases to see things in a different perspective. Whatever area of life that would be, let's say somebody has a bias towards how people should eat. Let's say somebody has a bias towards how the lockdown should happen. Let's say somebody has a bias, you know, pro or against vaccines or certain medical interventions. Let's say somebody has a bias in one way or another politically. Or parenting. It's funny because I didn't realize how controversial the space of parenting is until my older sister had a kid. And I would see people, men and women, but especially I would say mothers, who felt very strongly about the natural process of, let's say, you know, the first 40 days of a child's life. Or, for example, sleep training is a very controversial subject in the world of parenting, and you see fierce debates. Or breastfeeding. Whether to breastfeed, whether not to breastfeed. Does breastfeeding make you a better mother or not a better mother? We all have our biases that we come into things, and it's okay to have a bias as long as we check and own it. And what that prevents us from doing is it prevents us from becoming hysterical in the face of someone else having a different viewpoint than us. It's like, of course I know I have my own biases and I've done my own research, so that's why I think the way I do. So naturally, somebody else is going to have their own biases. Let me hear, or let me ask them, or let me get them to engage and maybe be open a little bit to the fact that, are they arriving at this viewpoint because they've done their own homework and they're thinking from themselves, or are they looking at the world through their bias? When you own your own bias, it's easier for you to catch other people's biases in conversation, which helps you, again, going back to the title of this podcast, it helps us be less mentally lazy. It helps us be a better, for lack of a better term, debater. I don't want to debate people, but when I get into passionate arguments where I disagree with other people that are civil and we're having a good back and forth, I know that if I have a viewpoint that is strong about one area, that one way of me arriving to helping the other person see that, if I genuinely believe in my viewpoint and they want to see it, or they're open to different ideas, is to help them understand how their bias has shaped their viewpoint. And one of the ways I do that is by owning my own bias. Sometimes in conversation, I'll say, here's my bias, here's what I went through. I don't have to call it out exactly, but I could relate to the fact that I've had my own story that has shaped my own viewpoint. When you own and acknowledge and see your bias, you can step in and out of it without it affecting how you arrive to a conclusion about a topic or other people. And here's the thing, at the end of the day, by the way, this is a very different Big Idea podcast. So if you liked it, let me know. If you didn't like it, let me know. And I'm sure next week I'll get back to some mindset episodes that are there. But shoot me a text. You can find the text message number in the show notes. And let me know if you liked this podcast episode or if you didn't. But I just felt like I had something important to say, which is why I did it in the first place, which, by the way, is a good thing. It's okay if people don't like it. I just needed to talk about this subject and go into it. So let me conclude with this. When we step into radical understanding and we give people the benefit of the doubt that they're not crazy, it's easy to just say that somebody's crazy and that's how they think the way that things are. And look, I'm not going to say that some people might not be borderline crazy, genuinely, where they actually, their brain might not be functioning in a way that allows them to process, or they're so filled with rage and trauma that they can't see anything for what it is. And I'm not saying that you should work to try to understand every single person. Some people genuinely might be coming from that place, but that is, I feel personally, 0.0001% of the population where something actually might be going on with them. Most people are not crazy. So instead of just writing off people as crazy, let's jump to radical understanding and try to see their viewpoint, because guess what, people? The other side, quote unquote, isn't going anywhere. So we need to understand where they're coming from, even if we, and especially if we, disagree. That's the power of understanding. When you have understanding, radical understanding in your life, you don't focus on defending. You ask great questions. You don't get hysterical. You don't get outraged as much. Yes, I see things that are out there in the world and in the news that are upsetting. Yes, I see things that I'm not happy with. Yes, I disagree with people that are out there, but I'm not outraged all the time. Because I automatically assume that people arrived to how they thought through something, and if I'm willing to do the homework, I can see how they got to their thinking. I can see that their stories, their movie of their own life, their influences, their books that they read, their people that they met, I can see how all that shaped them. And I can do that before even having done the work, because every time I've done it, I come to understanding. Every time I've done the work to figure out why people think the way that they do, I always end up at a place where, okay, yeah, I can understand that. I totally disagree with them, but I can understand how they arrived there. And that makes me a better human being. I hope you step into some of these big ideas and you practice them in your life if you want to become less mentally lazy. That was a little cheeky title. And you want to avoid demonizing other people and mostly live a life of peace. Peace, harmony, equanimity. That's what comes when we have understanding. This is Drew Perrott here. Big idea of the week episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Shoot me a text if you did.